Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio, where we take you through the main news of the day. And first of all, tonight, we'll bring you the latest on the fatal road traffic collision which happened at Devil's Elbow yesterday. Also on Update this evening, figures from Treasury reveal four government departments are expected to go over budget this financial year. We hear there are no plans to roll out menu changes in the island secondary schools. Questions are being raised about stalled plans to redevelop Castletown's Nautical Museum. And just what impact is AI having on the Isle of Man's creative industries? All that. Plus, we'll also take a look at the traffic and the travel, the weather as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you'd be more than welcome. You can email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start by joining Siobhan for the latest news headlines. Fastamai.
Fastamai. Police have confirmed a Peel man has died following a road traffic collision on the Peel to Kirkmichael Coast Road yesterday. The male driver has been formally identified as 25-year-old Kian Broadhead. An investigation into the circumstances surrounding the collision is currently underway, with police asking the public to refrain from speculation and respect the family's privacy. Four government departments are on course to overspend this financial year, according to new figures from Treasury. But Minister Alex Allenson says the challenges are well recognised.
Particularly those with frontline services. You've got to view this in the total budget of almost £1.4 billion.
An MHK has criticised a Ramsey commissioner after she wrote on Facebook that Charlie Kirk should burn in hell in response to a tribute. Stu Peters described Elizabeth Shimmin's remarks as ignorant, crass, insensitive, provocative and totally unnecessary. A section of the mountain road closed as planned this morning for drainage works. The southern section of the road between Brandywell and the Cregner Bar is expected to reopen on Monday, the 20th of October. A Manx professional triathlete, Will Draper, pulled off a remarkable win at the weekend, taking the European Long Distance Triathlon Challenge in Amsterdam. He did it with a sprint finish over the last few hundred metres. Further afield, a couple have each been jailed for 14 years after being convicted over the death of their newborn daughter. Constance Martin and Mark Gordon went on the run in 2023, and in sentencing them, the judge said the pair were a picture of arrogance.
Whilst there have been expressions of sorrow about the death, throughout you've adopted the stance of seeking to blame everyone else other than yourselves for what happened.
The ruler of Qatar has released a statement attacking Israel and saying its leaders are trying to make Gaza uninhabitable. And teenager Owen Cooper has become the youngest ever winner of the Supporting Actor Emmy. The 15-year-old from Warrington won the award for his role in Netflix drama Adolescence. They're your headlines, news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. It's been pretty rotten today, hasn't it? And there will be furthery showery outbreaks of rain this evening and tonight. A strong westerly wind as well. That will ease a little later tonight. Minimum temperatures will be around 12. Then tomorrow, any rain at first is going to clear quite quickly and the rest of the day will be dry with good sunny intervals, and the strong westerly wind will gradually ease as well. Maximum temperatures 15, but then tomorrow night there'll be some rain. It will be heavy and persistent, but that will quickly clear on Wednesday morning with dry and bright conditions developing. Maybe that Indian summer, who knows? Fresh to strong southwest wind and top temperatures on Wednesday of around 18. Sunset this evening will be at 7:36 and sunrise tomorrow morning 6:52.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
TE Cabin provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cabin, here when you need us.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.in.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452 688.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just coming up to 5 past 5. Well, as we've just heard, police have today confirmed that a Peel man has died, and it follows a road traffic collision at the Devil's Elbow yesterday. Siobhan is with me now. So, Siobhan, what do we know about this?
Emergency services were called to the scene between Peel and Kirkmichael at around 5:30 on Sunday evening. We can now confirm the male driver, who has been formally identified as 25-year-old Kian Broadhead, was pronounced dead at the scene. Now, people in the west of the island will be aware the road was shut for several hours as a result of the collision. Officers say an investigation into the circumstances surrounding it is currently underway. A police spokesperson has said, "This is a deeply tragic incident and our thoughts are with the family and friends of Kian at this difficult time. The public are being asked to refrain from speculation and respect the family's privacy on this matter, but anyone with any information about the incident is asked to get in touch with the police."
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. You can find out more about this at manxradio.com. And just a note as well, the Peel to Kirkmichael Coast Road is currently shut. There is an emergency road closure in place until 6:30 this evening, and bus services are being diverted. 5:06, and new figures from Treasury show four government departments are expected to overspend this financial year. One of them, the Department of Health and Social Care, exceeded its budget by £2.7 million in the first quarter and is forecasting a deficit of £7.3 million by the year end. Well, the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, was on Manx Radio Breakfast this morning and said the pressures were well known.
What we committed to do in this administration was bring forward quarterly reports so that people could actually see where we were going month on month. And that was one of the some of the feedback from the Council Ministers' roadshows we did last year and again this year, that we can actually show people the efforts we're taking to make sure government comes in on budget, but also drives those efficiencies and changes that people want. So what we've done is look at the spend up to the end of the first quarter. We know that certain departments are under pressure, particularly those with frontline services. This is in you've got to view this in the total budget of almost £1.4 billion. But what we're doing with each of these departments is sitting down with them, helping them, assisting them, understand those pressures, and then dealing with them in real time.
You're talking about frontline services there, and you've said that departments are facing financial pressures in line with expectations, especially those providing essential frontline services. But if these pressures were expected, and it's the essential services that are feeling the pinch, then did your budget underfund those essential services?
No, what our budget was that was trying to do is drive some of those efficiencies and productivity. So we knew that there would be inflationary pressures, particularly on departments like the Department of Home Affairs, who need to buy their equipment from the UK. We knew that there was going to be pressures in terms of education, sport and culture, but also in terms of some of the extra staffing they wanted to put in to drive better educational achievement for the children. But what we're doing with each of the departments is having regular scrutiny panels going through these pressures, actually seeing whether they materialise, when they materialise, and then helping those departments deal with them. So this is a snapshot of the first quarter. We're still living in a very volatile economic climate across. What we are showing in the Isle of Man is very much a resilient public service and driving those efficiencies and change programmes, which will be announced later on this week.
That is the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, who is talking to Amy Griffiths on Breakfast this morning. If you want to hear that full discussion, you can go over to the Manx Radio website and find the latest episode of the Manx Newscast. And I should say at this point, as the Minister just referred to, we are expecting a further update on government's £50 million efficiency programme on Wednesday. It's coming up to 5:09, and the Education Minister says there are currently no plans to roll out menu changes in secondary schools across the island. Now, Daphne Kane has been giving evidence to the island's Social Affairs Policy Review Committee alongside her department's chief officer, Graham Kinraid. They told the panel that secondary schools on the island were autonomous and so a set menu can't be rolled out, but they did say everything can be reviewed.
Given the feedback and given all we know about nutrition, instilling good eating habits, the benefits for concentration by having slowly releasing energy, I very much hope that children in school, understanding all of that and the information that we are surrounding the rollout of the new menu with, will organically go through the school population to parents and to older children. The issue, I think, secondary schools are autonomous. I hear, you know, very much they have some very good main meals. Children don't always have the healthy option, and they have other options of where to go to stock up on snacks that they want, or mid-morning baps and everything else. But I think as a society and as a department, for those professionals in those school kitchens to revise and look at their own offering would be a benefit. But that isn't something, given everything else we've got going on in the department, that I think is my priority at this time.
And I think we shouldn't run away with the thought that secondary schools aren't already focused on this. You know, we have professional cooks in five kitchens, and I'm quite sure they're doing everything they can to make the food as healthy and suitable as possible. However, everything can be reviewed, everything can be adjusted, and I'm quite sure the conversation around this will just be heightening everybody's sensibility to it, and I'm quite sure the kitchens are looking to see where they can make small improvements.
That's the Education Chief Officer Graham Kinraid, and also the Minister Daphne Kane, who are giving evidence to the Island Social Affairs Policy Review Committee. It's coming up to 11 minutes past five. Now, planning permission has been granted for a new supermarket in Port Erin. Co-op will be able to develop on the site of the former funeral directors and florists on Station Road. And these plans include provision also for six tourist accommodation apartments and associated car parking. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper was at the planning committee meeting this morning.
It was initially recommended for refusal due to it being outside the retail area of Port Erin, there being no retail impact assessment and no audit of other available sites. Clerk of Port Erin Commissioners, Jason Roberts, said the local authority would support the application, provided issues relating to highway matters were resolved. He added that the area is within the proposed 20-mile-an-hour zone, and the commissioners have been asking for double yellow lines in the area for a while. Mr Roberts also told the committee that the properties have been vacant for 15 to 20 years. A local resident spoke out against the application and said it wasn't in the right location and that there are other units available in the village to be developed. He added that it could also affect the businesses on Station Road and make the parking situation around the area worse. Mark Pearce, acting on behalf of the developer, said that a retail impact assessment wasn't carried out due to the site being less than 500 square metres. He added that the other retail stores on Station Road have a different offering and its only direct competition would be Tesco. Committee member Sam Skelton said the developers missed a trick by not including a retail impact assessment despite the criteria, as well as including alternative sites. Chair Rob Callister said he was in support of the application based on the views of the commissioners and its local knowledge. Whilst fellow committee member Peter Young said he had a number of concerns about the application, including its distance from the rest of the retail units in town as well as the visual impact of the building. The committee voted 5-2 in favour of the application.
Emma Draper reporting. 5:12 and questions are being raised about the stall plans to redevelop the Nautical Museum in Castletown. The Enterprise Minister's confirmed a funding bid was unsuccessful, adding that the cost of creating a world-class facility to house the Peggy was too high. But Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK Jason Morehouse believes unrealistic targets are blocking progress.
Over the past 12 months, nothing appears to have been done in terms of amending the bid, looking at alternatives, shrinking the project, making the project more realistic. It's kind of an answer with two halves. There's the element of hope that there's the words such as saying the term they're looking for the Peggy to return to Castletown, but then that's caveated with the massive statement that they're looking towards creating a world-class facility. Now, in the Isle of Man in 2025, it's nice to have world-class facilities and consider them, but is it realistic? And personally, I don't think it is.
You mentioned there about the world-class facility and being a bit of an unrealistic target. What would you like to see instead?
I think basically it's going back to what we've got in terms of we've got a building of worth, and we've got a barn as part of that complex, which could potentially be used as a new home for the Peggy. Even within the building, there's possibilities. You've also got a small piece of land at the side of the building, which could be used. So there are lots of possibilities which wouldn't produce the same grand, impressive outcome they were hoping for in the summer of 2023, but it would still be impressive, because even if you're going to see Peggy today, you can still see her on a Saturday, and I think it's a Tuesday. It's a world-class, impressive boat. And just to be in the same room as that yacht, you think, wow. And that is just a shed. So you don't need lots of grand padding, lots of lighting, lots of fanciness. You just need a basic structure where the boat can be seen in Castletown.
That's Arbury Cast, Anna Malou, MHK, Jason Morehouse talking to Darren Timpson.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, first of all this evening, just a reminder that some bus services between Peel and Kirkmichael are being diverted. That's because Bus Fannin says the Coast Road is closed. There's an emergency road closure in place until 6.30. Most services diverted via the Portown Road and Cronkavoddy, but it also does mean that the Ballawattleworth stops in Oak Road are not currently being served. Also, the mountain road is closed from Brandywell to Cregner Bar. We know that's for the drainage work and removal of TT and MGP equipment. That stretch of road due to stay shut until Monday, the 20th of October, but businesses on the mountain open as usual. And other things in Union Mills all this week, there's a short section of Strang Road, which is one way between the Methodist Chapel and the main road. That's for wall repairs. There are temporary lights on the Newcastle Town Road between Saddle Road and Quarterbridge. That's for estate entrance works. Temporary lights on Lord Street. That's between the Brown Bobby and Athol Street. And today and tomorrow there are also temporary lights on Balaquay Road at the Duke's Road Junction. That's for tree removal. All looking okay down at the airport, and with the steam packet we know the Liverpool sailings cancelled today because of the weather, and the Manxman headed off to Heysham a short time ago. It's due to get there at about 8:45.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest free at Quayside.
Referrals for cocaine use on the Isle of Man have jumped by more than a quarter in the past year, according to the Manx addiction charity Motivate. It says for the first time, more people are now seeking help for cocaine than cannabis. Motivate is running a well-being workshop this Thursday with a focus on the Class A drug. Jason McKee from the organisation says cocaine does pose serious risks.
Now it's a sociable, you know, drug. It seems to be the drug of choice. You know, people can have a bit, sort of, you know, the pick-me-up, and I think people may be looking at that side of it, you know, what it does, the positive, the side, the, how they can have fun and how they can interact with other people without, you know, looking at the consequences, what it does. There is, on the Isle of Man, it's quite high for, you know, people taking cocaine. Whether they're getting cocaine, that's a, you know, that sometimes it is cut with other substances. People don't know what they're taking. So yeah, what we'd be doing in the workshop, it's you know, real. It's all about harm reduction.
And something which you touched on earlier was the risks of taking these drugs, and I think you did mention it, that you can never really be sure what you're actually taking.
In England, what they're finding now is that it's being cut with plant food again. That's resurfacing. So, you know, people might be thinking they're getting cocaine. It could be cut with, you know, plant food, you know, other stimulants, and that, you know, the risks with that make it quite higher, because people think that, you know, they're taking cocaine, this is okay, and obviously there may be a stimulant or something in there a lot stronger, and then, you know, that puts people at risk of, you know, overdose as well.
And I suppose if you are taking cocaine, for example, and then there was an adverse reaction, that makes life very, very difficult for the medical professionals who are trying to attend to you if they don't know what you have actually ingested.
Yeah, I'd say so, because, you know, obviously it's not being tested, so it'd be hard to determine what that person's took. If they're going to take cocaine, is to take small amounts, make sure they're with people. Because if anything goes wrong and you're by yourself, then there's no one there to help you. So that's a real important message that we'll be, you know, we'll be talking about that on Thursday.
That's Jason McKee from Motivate. That workshop on Thursday is at midday at the Motivate headquarters on Woodburn Road. Now, a former MHK says the Isle of Man's system of government isn't working and the role of Chief Minister is too weak. Chris Robert Shaw, who used to represent Douglas East, is now part of the campaign group Future Isle of Man, which is raising concerns about how government operates ahead of next year's House of Keys general election. Now, Mr Robert Shaw has confirmed he won't be standing himself, but he has been talking to our political correspondent Phil Gorn.
All he or she can really do is hire and fire members into the Council of Ministers, and at some point you sort of run out. But,
and effectively, that's the problem the Chief Minister, our current Chief Minister, Alf Cannon, seems to be faced with, in that he's sacked so many ministers, probably more than any other Chief Minister, that his options are becoming more limited.
We're not getting the right thinking into the Council of Ministers in the first place. So it's deficit, high quality strategic thinking in the first place. The thinking coming in is, as it were, silo influence, so it can come into the Council of Ministers. It may very well be the wish and will of the CEO of a particular department, But that hasn't been examined across the piece in terms of its overall importance to the Isle of Man strategically. And there's very little the Chief Minister can do about it. I mean, there's been talk about, should we have a directly elected Chief Minister? I believe that's a bridge too far, Phil, because, you know, if you ended up with the wrong Chief Minister, we could be really exposed.
You know, I would always say to anyone in the current system, you need to get into Council of Ministers, because that's where the substantial amount of power and control over all the main sort of policy levers sits. But it shouldn't really, because actually Parliament, Tynwald, should have some greater level of control over what's going on.
I'm not being intentionally disparaging about the Council of Ministers system. What Future Isle of Man is saying is that we never finished the job, Phil. We brought the Council of Ministers system in. You know, I was always of the opinion, well, yes, good, we've started the Council of Ministers system. What's next? Where do we develop it further? How do we understand its weaknesses? And we've never done that. We've sort of assembled the system and then sort of let it run.
That's Chris Robertshaw, who's talking to Phil Gawn on Perspective yesterday. You can listen back to that at manxradio.com. We have invited the Isle of Man government to respond to Mr. Robertshaw's comments. 21 minutes past five. Now, two of the stars of FC Isle of Man's dramatic 3-2 win over Charnett Richard at the weekend have been paying tribute to their fans and their manager. Charlie Higgins scored a hat-trick at the bowl, including a penalty late on to secure the win. After the full-time whistle, Rob Pritchard caught up with Higgins and also defender Callum Sherry.
Absolutely amazing. Like you probably heard in the change room, all the lads are over the moon, and yeah, we've well deserved, to be fair.
And Callum, from your side of things, how have you all managed that? Because obviously people have talked about there's been a bit of outside noise and you guys just trying to do what you need to do. So what's the key to keeping the spirits up after what's been a difficult few weeks?
I think just sticking together as a group. Obviously we're the only ones that can change everything, so you can't really listen too much to the outside noise. But obviously you get the rewards tonight, get a nice 3 points, and hopefully we can build in the next coming weeks.
How much resilience did you all have to show in that second half? Yes, they were down to 10, but they were causing you plenty of problems.
Yeah, no, like I say, it's credit to the fans. Like, we wouldn't have been able to get over the line if it wasn't for that fans, and it's every week there. Like, the consistency, travel, and all the conspiracy are just amazing, and it's so nice to play for.
I just, Callum, on that point as well, with the fans as well, they follow you all over the place as well, and looking at some of the comments from the fans that are here at the bowl, a lot of the time there's been so much positivity despite all that's been going on. To know that you've got them behind you, whatever happens during the season, that must mean a lot to you guys.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, everyone's entitled to their opinions. That's the nature of football. But obviously, these people that come down week in and week out and support us, obviously, always a positive. And it was just nice to repay them tonight. And hopefully, we can carry on doing that.
Charlie, is there always that faith that the ability is there, that even if the results don't come, that you do all have that quality to not just have one result like this, but get more of them going forward?
Yeah, 100%. Like, all the lads have got 100% faith in what the manager does and everything like that. And yeah, I think going forward now, we just pick up every game from it and then see how it goes. Hopefully get a win streak.
And not just from yourselves as players, but from the manager as well. Of course, he faces a lot of questions from the likes of me and from the club as well. But, you know, how important has he been in this whole setup through what's been a challenging period?
Oh yeah, massive. I think he sets us up well. I don't think there's anyone on the island that will put the time and dedication into the club as Jonesy has. So I think the people need to respect him for who he is and obviously stick by him.
Now, FC Isle of Man are in action again tomorrow when they travel to AFC Liverpool. And just to note that the player Adam Carouche suffered a double leg fracture during that game. In a social media post, the Ravens said everyone at FC Isle of Man would like to wish Adam a speedy recovery. 23 minutes past five, and more of us are turning to artificial intelligence. But you may have also noticed more businesses using AI to create their logos and branding. So what does that mean for the island's creative sector? Amy Griffiths reports.
It has become very difficult for me as a one-man band to actually price that so that I actually get the work, because a lot of them come back and say, well, that's just too expensive. I can do that myself. And yeah, you can do it yourself, but your logo will be one of thousands that's out there that look the same. It might just have a different name on it. There's no personality gone into it. There's no thought gone into it. And it's just becoming increasingly difficult.
Now, Gary's not alone in his fears. Alex Pover says he moved away from online creation altogether.
I find it scary, actually, and it's not slowing down. It's everywhere. I've always said, like, AI can kind of give you the bones of what you want, but it has no soul. And that's a big, big concern for me as well.
But what about businesses who are turning to AI because they see it as the future? Sean is from AI and Web Solutions, Isle of Man.
It can take a long time sometimes. For a decent-sized website, you're talking, like, 4 months and stuff like that. That's what
I was seeing. And when you incorporate AI into doing the coding, you can do it in a matter of weeks.
Do you find that it then makes it more cost effective as well?
Absolutely, yeah. A lot cheaper. I just see it as a tool rather than seeing it as a threat.
Now, an important aspect of this debate is who actually owns AI generated content.
My name is Jasbir Mustafa Mamalipurat. I'm a lecturer in media studies at Queen's University, Belfast. This is a very hot question right now. And the short answer is no, there isn't any clear universal rules. Most copyright systems assume that authors are humans. So AI content sits in a legal gray area. If you use an AI tool, ownership usually lies with the person giving the prompts or sometimes the company that owns the tool. But this is far from settled. And I think in the next perhaps 5 to 10 years, we will see a lot of court cases that will shape the rules and legislation.
An interesting report on AI there with Amy Griffiths. Sport time now. We say good evening to Darren Timpson.
Good evening. Starting in football, and Rushing United have gone top of the Canada Life Premier League. They beat Old Boys 2-0 on Saturday to go first in the table, capitalising on Corinthians' 1-0 draw with Peel. Rushing are now one of two teams along with Laxey to maintain a perfect record in the division. The Miners beat Ayr 2-1. Meanwhile, Foxdale's poor start to the season continued as they lost 5-1 to Union Mills to stay bottom of the table. In the Odden and Drogon Division 2, Castle Town won again at the weekend to go top of the table by 4 points. Moran also took 3 points with a win over Paul Rhodes at the weekend, whilst Quilby drew with Douglas Royal and Governors were held by Malou. Elsewhere, there was one game played in the Canada Life Women's League on a weather-affected Sunday. Onchan beat Rushen 3-2. In rugby, all three Ireland teams lost on the road at the weekend. Douglas were beaten 38-20 by Sandbach in the Regional 2 Northwest. Elsewhere, Ramsey and Vagabonds are still searching for their first points of the new season. Vagabonds lost 37-19 to Congleton in the County 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire, and Ramsey were blown away by Bury with a 93-0 battering. The 2025-26 hockey season got underway on Saturday. Backers A, Valkers A and Vikings A all took wins in the mixed Premier League, while Castletown, Celts and Harlequins played out a 3-all draw. In the mixed Division 1, Backers C, Valkyries B and Vikings B got off to winning starts. On to athletics, where the end-to-end walk took place yesterday. Simon Gorn was crowned the winner of the MFX walk at the weekend. Helen Davies was also the overall women's winner as she finished joint third with David Williams. And finally, Will Draper pulled off a dramatic win at the European Long Distance Triathlon Challenge in Amsterdam on Saturday. He did it with a sprint finish, overtaking Tristan O'Lidge and taking the title in his debut race.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. A great result there for Will Draper. And also just a shout out to all those end-to-end walkers. The conditions yesterday were just horrific. So if you took part in that and you got anywhere, then you did a fantastic job. That is all from Update tonight. Coming up next, it's Wild Man with Howard Kane. We'll then have Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley from 6. At 9, it's time for Brass with Ian Cottier before Dave Moore is here with After Hours from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.